Let's keep talking Utah and their game this weekend with Oregon. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. He's the SB, you can read him at SB Nation and as the host of Solid Verbal. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going? I sound like I'm in a loud place right now, don't I?
Well, it you must be popular. That's okay. You know, we're hoping to get a breakdown here on when exactly things started to break down for the Ducks, because we heard Brady Hoke complaining in fall camp that his defense wasn't performing. And I'm watching that group last week against Stanford just get pushed all over the place. I mean, when did it really start to go bad for the Ducks?
It probably went bad a couple years ago, but it was hidden a little bit by a lot of talent. But in terms of the defense and the depth, and the ability to play four quarters of quality defense, it was a couple of years ago when it really became obvious. I mean, there was NFL talent up front with Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner up front. So that made sense that they could sort of mask things. But this year is sort of the culmination of some bad whiffs in recruiting, in some poor coaching hires, to say the least, and just the offense getting off the field quickly and doing the defense no favors. So it's been gradual, but the signs have been there for a little bit.
Well, the effort also seems to be down, especially defensively. I mean, I'm sure fans are noticing. I mean, what is Coach Helfrich saying week to week in response at his press conferences about why the effort is just so down?
He hasn't addressed it all that much, and I don't blame him because he is the one in charge of making sure the effort is there. But it really is obvious, you're right, to everybody that watches these games that, and I think it goes back somewhat to the offense struggling with, when an offense plays as quickly as Oregon has for these past few years successfully, you need to be able to build up depth defensively and rotate in bodies, and they're just not there. They're young, they're beat up, and it is tough when things are just snowballing week after week and guys are leaving the team, getting kicked off the team, and there's disappointment, and I honestly think that it's sort of a leadership thing within the team. I don't think there are those guys, either on the coaching staff or on the team themselves, that can sort of rouse this group into a comeback of sorts.
Dan Rubenstein's our guest, 1320 K fan. So as we look at Oregon, we know they've kind of shifted to this younger group to make the future brighter, but it doesn't look like Mark Helfrich is going to be a part of that. Is that why we're kind of getting these rumors of players quitting on the team?
I don't think that's unreasonable to say. There's just uncertainty at the top, and I think that trickles down. And honestly, the players don't fully know if we're going to sort of zero in on the defense. We're talking about a shift to a 4-3 after years and years of these players who were recruited to and developed to play within a 3-4, a two-gap 3-4, and now they're playing a one-gap 4-3. So not only is it new, but they're being asked to do things that sort of have gone against what they've been taught by this exact same coaching staff. If you remember, Don Pelham was the defensive coordinator these past couple of years, teaching them one thing, and now he's a linebackers coach, teaching different assignments. So it's sort of a mix of things, and that's where you're seeing sort of when they're letting up big plays and falling behind. It's tough when they're already so thin and so confused to give that effort.
What's going on behind the scenes with Royce Freeman? This guy is an all-conference caliber player. I mean, is he being benched right now? What exactly is going on?
I don't think he's benched. I think it's a couple of injuries that he's dealing with, and he's trying to play through because he is a tough dude if you've watched Royce Freeman at all these past 3 years with him at Oregon. I think he's just playing through a ton of pain, and that's why we saw that was a loud sound in New York. That's why we saw Tony Brooks-James get the start against USC to try to take advantage of some of the speed that he has that Royce Freeman has been struggling with. Royce Freeman running sort of east-west instead of north-south. It's just an injury thing, and it's hard to get motivated, I think, especially when we've seen a quarterback carousel as well.
A couple of weeks ago, we saw Oregon stomp Arizona State, and they put up 54 points against Cal. They put up 49 points. But in the last few weeks, they put up 20 against USC and 27 against Stanford. What do we think this offense is capable of putting up, especially against a team like Utah?
So against defenses that have struggled a whole bunch, against a Utah team which has had some down weeks, if you look at a week like UCLA and has had some nice performances, if you look at the USC game, if you look at what they were able to do against ASU last week and getting to the quarterback, I don't think Oregon is capable of getting to 30 points against Utah, which isn't to say they can't win. I'm going to say that they can't win, but they can win this game if they're able to turn Utah over. And I know Troy Williams has not been performing as consistently as I think Ute fans would hope in terms of his accuracy and his ability to play consistently for four quarters. But I don't know that Oregon has the defense to sort of get into his head So I think Utah should expect success in getting to Justin Herbert with a beat-up Oregon offensive line and a young Oregon offensive line, and not all that many sustained drives from the Oregon offense.
I mean, I'm assuming if Oregon loses to Oregon State, there's going to be real questions about Mark Helfrich's job. But what about the dynamic has changed since Phil Knight has come out and made that comment that he's willing to pay somebody $10 million to do Mark Helfrich's job?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Helfrich has been pretty diplomatic about, you know, sort of a week-to-week responsibility and keeping this team ready and saying all the right things and that he's confident that they're doing everything correctly that they need to do. But, I mean, it's certainly a cloud that's hanging over the program. And if they lose ugly again to Utah like they did last year and like they did last week to Stanford, if they lose to Oregon State, I mean, I already don't feel like Helfrich is going to be back. I think there's just a very, very slim chance anyway, as is right now before the Utah game. But, yeah, there's a cloud over everything. And if I had to guess, I would imagine the sort of powers that be from the athletic director to the bigger boosters are already exploring their options.
Dan Rubenstein's our guest, 1320 KFan. So, Dan, as we look at this Oregon team then, if they were to make a replacement at head coach coming up in the offseason, is there an ideal candidate out there that you've seen that might fit what Oregon's trying to do and trying to build on?
Sure. There are a number of guys that I think would fit and would be an interesting hire. I guess it also depends on what the landscape looks like. Obviously, Tom Herman is the biggest name, so a lot with him certainly depends on what happens with the Texas and LSU jobs. I think Larry Fedora is an interesting name, a big Nike guy over at North Carolina, and the success that he's had in a place that has not succeeded a lot, and that's what Oregon used to be. I think Mike Gundy's an interesting name with his unhappiness in Stillwater. I know a lot of people have fussed around PJ Fleck's name with the sort of amazing season he's had in Kalamazoo for Western Michigan, but I think he's a little bit more tied to the Midwest than people may realize. Other than that, I actually, honestly, if we're going to talk about dark horse candidates for a potential new Oregon coach in 2017, the Mountain Time Zone might not be the worst place to look, and that may include Kyle Whittingham. I don't think he is at the forefront, but with his sort of disagreements at Utah and in Salt Lake City with his bosses, Mike McIntyre is another name that I think intrigues Oregon fans, and Brian Harsin with his location with Boise State and his connection to the Pacific Northwest, I think is another guy.
Find him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. You can read him at SB Nation. He's the host of the Solid Verbal. Dan, really great stuff. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thank you guys very much.